So it's Exodus chapter 25 and reading from verse 23. And thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of 1 handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal, of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. So, may the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. I mentioned a few weeks ago now that we would look at 7 distinct pieces of furniture, or instruments as they are called, which the Lord described and prescribed to be placed in the tabernacle as a pattern of worship for the Old Testament people of Israel. And these are called instruments because they were instrumental to the proper worship of God. They picture what it means to worship God by faith, in spirit, and in truth. And each item of these instruments or pieces of furniture that were in the tabernacle pointed worshippers to the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming Messiah. Now, today we've come to halfway through that list. And I wondered, who can remember the first 3 items that we've spoken about? Can anyone remember those first 3 items? If you can, tell them to the person next to you. Or if you're on your own, I don't know, tell them to your dog or just say them to yourself. But what were they? I'll give you a clue. 2 of them were made of brass or bronze, and 1 of them of gold. I wonder if you've got them. So there was a brass altar. That was the first item. The brass altar was for sacrificing, and it was the first item to be seen as a worshipper entered the tabernacle enclosure and the brass altar stood before him. And that talks about a sacrifice for sin and the need for blood atonement. And it is essential if we are to approach God, who is in the tabernacle, who is in the Holy of Holies, and who dwells amongst his people there. So this was the picture for the Old Testament Jew, that the altar was first to speak about the sacrifice. The next item was the brass laver or wash basin. And it was a place for washing because true worshippers must be spiritually pure and clean in order to enter God's holy presence. And then we spoke about how the priests, having washed at the laver, entered into the tabernacle proper, the tent in which God's presence dwelt, and there on their left-hand side, which is on the south side, I believe, of the tabernacle, was the tent, or was the golden candlestick within the tent. And that golden candlestick burned pure olive oil. It had seven branches, and it spoke to the worshipper of the fact that Christ, or the Messiah who would come, is the light of the world, who gives spiritual sight and spiritual understanding to sinners. And the gold with from which the candlestick was made speaks of the holiness, the purity, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps also his divine nature. And now we come to this fourth item. And directly across from the candlestick, as the priest enters the tent, was another piece of furniture which the Lord had specified. And we've read about it today in our passage in Exodus 25. Here we have what is called the table of showbread. And it is a table upon which 12 loaves of bread, the showbread, is continually to be set before God. So on one side we've got a gold candlestick, on the other side we have a gold table on which are laid two rows of six round pieces of bread, bread loaves. And these loaves speak to us of the church and God's people throughout the ages, God's elect people throughout the ages, and they are always before the face of God. Now, we've read a little bit about how the table was to be constructed, and once again we remind ourselves that God gave all the instructions and he told what the materials were. The table itself was to be a wooden table. It was to be made of shittim wood, covered with gold. It was measured in cubits. Now, a cubit, so I believe, was the distance between the tip of the finger and the tip of the elbow bone. That was the sort of idea of how big a cubit was. The length was about 20, well, it was different. Cubits were different sizes, but sometimes 21 inches, sometimes about 23 inches, or 55 to 58 centimeters. And this table made of shittim wood covered with gold, had a number of crafted features, such as a crown of gold. Perhaps that was for decoration. Perhaps it was to act like a little curtain to keep anything that was placed on top of the table in its place and stop it from falling off. It had rings. It had two poles for carrying it. It had some golden utensils like plates and bowls and spoons. But once again, here we find God giving direction for this table to be placed in his presence, upon which this showbread was to be placed. And we learn in other places about this bread. There were 12 flat loaves. They were freshly baked of fine flour each week. They were placed on this table in two rows of six, and the bread was baked and sprinkled with frankincense, and it was set before the Lord's face continually. Now, I read somewhere that the Jews actually call these loaves the bread of faces, which I think is quite intriguing, quite interesting. And perhaps that was because they were before God's face. Or maybe it was to remind the children of Israel that the bread represented the faces of the 12 tribes, so that there was a loaf for each tribe. And when it was placed there, it was a reminder that each tribe was always before the face of God. But But I think the spiritual sense is that we understand these pieces of bread as being indicative of the church itself, the Lord's people. And the bread was replaced each Sabbath day, and when it was replaced with a new fresh loaf, the priest could eat the old bread. And again, as we've done in the past, we are right to believe that these items and the rituals that God is instituting here for the tabernacle worship point us to the Lord Jesus. A table that is spread with food is often a picture in Scripture of hospitality and welcome and a symbol of fellowship. And I think that there is a picture here of the fellowship that we have with God because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself called himself the bread of life and the bread that came down from heaven, like the manna was sent down from heaven to feed the people throughout their wilderness journey. And so this is the same manna, the same bread that the people would eat, that is here in the presence of God, in the tabernacle, in the tent of his presence. The table, as we've seen, was made of wood covered with gold. And that reminds us that the Lord Jesus has two natures, a human nature, perhaps pictured by the shittim wood, and a divine nature, pictured by the pure, precious gold. And there are lots of other likenesses or pictures that have been suggested for the two rows of bread set in order on the table, such as marking gratitude for the constant supply of manna in the wilderness and reminding us to thank the Lord as we come into his presence for all his continuing goodness and our daily provisions for us. And there is a close connection, I think, between food to nourish the body and Christ's grace that nourishes our souls. Because just as we need food day by day to live, so we go to the Lord day by day for spiritual food and spiritual nourishment and for the daily help that we get from our relationship with him. And all of these ideas, all of these thoughts have merit. However, as always, the overriding principle is that these instruments and these rituals of the children of Israel were given to them and related to us as well as pointers to what as yet for the Old Testament people remained hidden in shadow, but would be revealed with the coming of the Messiah. And perhaps the great lesson for us to remember here is that the Lord Jesus Christ called himself the bread of life. Not simply the miraculous manna that fell from heaven through the 40 years of the wilderness journey, giving sufficient food to eat for the people. But the Lord himself is the bread of life to his people. He is our spiritual life, who came from heaven and suffered and died in his people's place. And when we share communion together, we still use bread set out publicly on a table and carefully and thoughtfully blessed and broken and consumed by all who trust in the Lord for personal salvation. Everything the people needed to see Christ was represented here in these instruments and in these pieces of furniture. A sacrifice on an altar, a laver for cleansing, a candlestick for light, and a table fitly spread with lively spiritual food for fellowship with God. Now we are blessed to be able to see in Christ the fulfillment or the antitype of these pictures. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians about the coming of Christ and the fulfillment of the promises, says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And so the Old Testament rituals and the Old Testament ceremonies and the tabernacle and the table and the lampstand and the altars, they're all done away with now. They all have gone into history. They show us how the Lord developed the revelation and prepared his people for the coming of Christ. But now we see the reality. We see the perfect one. We see the complete fulfillment in God's way of salvation and in the spiritual life and the faith that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ's work. So the tabernacle with its instruments that prophesied in part, they're gone, they're done away with. But the full glory of Christ's accomplishments are now seen and known in his person and in his work. May the Lord give us faith to trust in him. Amen.